I wanted to at least begin talking about this Shari Yosha here for Reb Shimon Shkop, and here is Shar Hei Perek Beis, which in which he comes, his first parak in Shar Hei speaks about the question of Sofek Mamun. You have a Sofek in Dini Mamunus, and you're not sure which way to pass it. So we say, Hamotim HaKaver Rav Araya, the person who wants to receive the money has to bring evidence. And there's a famous question, the Kuntros HaSfeikos question. Kuntros HaSfeikos asks the question, if a person's unsure if money actually belongs to him, or an object, whatever it is, so don't we have a person who's suffix the right to l'chumra? That if you have a suffix in a prohibition, in an isra, in a tzera, you have to be machmir. So therefore, he should be machmir and give it to the other guy. Because otherwise, he has a suffix gezel, and this is a raisa, so therefore, he should say suffix the raisa l'chumra, and he should relinquish the object to the other fellow. So he dealt with that question in Parakalos. Why you don't have to relinquish the other fellow? Why you have to keep it until the other fellow brings evidence, definitive evidence that it is. But that was the first part. The second part, he talks about something else. He says, V'ashbem subik mamon v'chepet zayin, after he spoke about a question of monetary ownership in an object which exists, an extant object, Alena bar haidina the sofik mamo, the sofik chi b'shiva gufi. We have to now talk about a sofik which doesn't apply to an actual object or actual coin, but rather applies to a shibud. A shibud is a lien, an obligation. And we have many things in Torah which are called shibudim, obligations. So the question is, what's the basis of a shibud? What obliges me, in essence, let's say I borrow money. By what obligation do I have to pay it back? If I do work for you, by what obligation do you have to pay me? How do all these obligations work? The source or the logic behind it? That's called shibud haguf. There's no money involved. There might have been money at one point. There might have been labor at one point. But right now, that money is gone. That labor is gone. And yet, I retain a lien, an obligation over you or vice versa. So what makes that obligation exist and what makes it actually be significant? It says here, here too we face the kind of the suffix plusor. Here too, when the suffix, question of doubt, you're exempt. We say that the shibud also is like any other monetary question. In case of doubt, you don't have to pay. Because if somebody wants to take money out of you, has to bring evidence. So says Shimon, it would seem, in the simple language of Chazal in Ksuvus, the Iker Din Shiv was Shuvah Agu B'Chokhi V'Mamam, that the primary halacha of an obligation. You know, shibud haguf literally means a bodily obligation, but that's not the case. It doesn't attach to your body. Anything attaches to your soul, but it means your personal obligation, as opposed to an obligation which is placed on your real estate, on your chattel, on objects that you own. That's called shibud mama. That's a shibud, an obligation which extends to your owned object. But even if you don't own anything, there's always shibud haguf. There's always an obligation which is imposed upon me in a case where I assess an obligation. So what is the basis of that being significant? So he says, it sounds like the Gemara and Ksuvos, that they involve an alki, ikar din shibud haguf, b'chokhi v'mamon, the primary halacha of shibud haguf, in all matters of mamon, dini mamon, Rak mitzvah shapriyas ba'chov. It's only a fulfillment of the mitzvah, I should say a flip side of the mitzvah, a priyas ba'chov. The Gemara on top page above and says, that's the Gemara. Gemara says there that priyas ba'chov mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to pay back the person whom you owe money. The mitzvah? Mitzvah usually you say is a nice deed. the even a positive commandment from the Tariag, but it's a very strange language, because it would indicate that the sum total of your obligation is the necessity which you have upon you to fulfill a mitzvah. So let's see how it develops here a little bit. So he says, Tamir Shom, I don't have Kana Rav Papa. He says that Rav Kana says Rav Papa, Rav Kana says Rav Papa, mitzvah, according to your old Tamir Shom, paying back his creditor is a mitzvah. So if that's the case, Amar lo nicho li di avin mitzvah amai. What happens if a guy says, you know, I'm not so frum. I don't like doing mitzvah. I don't want to pay back the guy to whom I owe money. Other people, they pursue mitzvah. You know, the chesed there, I'm not so frum. I don't want to pay back. I'd rather give the money and not do the mitzvah. What happens in such a case? Again, if you hold the whole basis of P.S. Baruch Hu mitzvah, so what happens in that case? So Rav Kana, so he says here that Rav Pop and Rav Kana Amay Tanino. We learned, by Medvar Mamorim, the Mitzvah Slos, I say. When is there a limited amount of, yeah, that's what, but you can't force somebody to say, the Rav is fast, can't force somebody to do a mitzvah, that's what he's about to say. So he says, when is a limited amount of mouth of 39 I can give and not more? That's in the case of Mrs. Losar say, negative command. But maybe one more Mrs. Losar say, Ava Mrs. say, a positive command. Don't show me what I say, Sukkah Ose. Because we tell you that to make a sukkah and you don't make the sukkah. Rulav Ein Ose, tell you to make rulav, you don't make the rulav. And, Makar Sosha Tate Nacho. He beat him until he died. So in essence, what he's answering is that, yes, we force this person to do the mitzvah, paying back the creditor. Just like any other forcing the mitzvah. Say, I force you to give a ruah, until you shake a ruah, I force you to pay back the person to whom you owe the money. Or the person who made there, the laborer who worked for you, et cetera, et cetera. So, the, I mean, first of the Gorah, the Ikar Shibut, it says, seems to be that the primary obligation, the Ma'an Mashvil Lav Daraisa, quite being that Shibut Lav Daraisa, now Shibut Lav Daraisa, mean, all that means is that the Shibut Mamon, that my objects are under lien to you, that's not Daraisa. The question of Shibuta Daraisa, Shibuta Lav Daraisa, is whether the lien on my object, on my property, is Daraisa or not. But everybody agrees that Shibuta Guf is Daraisa. But let's say that we hold Shibuta Mamon, the obligation to lien on the property is not Daraisa. Only Shibuta Guf is, only obligation on the person, who missed the grade, it's only mitzvah. The Dinkti has basin, and a lot of the basin can compel. All that is, the basin of death, who rocks to mitzvah, shook up the ruah, no more, no less. So now, this causes a little bit of a problem here. For example, it goes in Shimon, the cotton chain of our mitzvah is part of the mitzvah zoo. But if you have a cotton, the cotton is not tied to mitzvah. So he's part from paying back his creditor. You're never going to be able to get your money back from your debtor if it's a katan, if it's all based on mitzvah. Deinu kemo dini mamonis al chavetz ve'ein. Because if we're talking about stolen objects, so the object is there. So even a katan, I say to the katan, listen, the katan, it's not, this object is not your object. We're taking it with you and giving back to the rightful owner. But you can't say that by a shubra goof. I can't point to any money or any object and say, you know, this belongs to him. The club says, I don't care anything. Because the obligation is on the person, not on what he owns. That's what he says here. They didn't want to be the moment that's okay to say. Not like the monetary laws pertain to an object which exists in real time, a real face in front of us. If he has basically a mama, Because here, the what Bateson is obligating is on the money which is owed Rome to the Gaza, not on the restoration of stolen property. Right? So, says, of course, that we remind them of Shmuel's Oraita. If you don't know that that obligation, which is the personal obligation, extends automatically to everything I own, then it's not difficult how I can compel a person to do this. Mishum Amana Mashmila Doraita, because according to Pina holds that Shibud Mama is a Torah obligation, because Kuskatoveya bin Nikhseya Nikba. The claimant has an ownership right in the property of the defendant, of the litigant, the accused of harboring wealth, so to speak, which is not his. So he says, of course, in that case, you'd have to say that if you vote Shibuz the Raisa, that you don't have to say it's better this way. Of course, in that case, the Shibuz the Raisa is much better. Because then I say, in essence, every object you own is like a stolen object when you own money. Since every object you own is like a stolen object, because each one of your objects has a lien on it until you return it to the person from which you, the person to whom you have an obligation. So then, every object is as if it's a stolen object, and basically come in and say, okay, we're taking this object and giving it to him because you owe him money. And you can say, wait, I didn't borrow that object that he gave him. That object's been there with my family for 500 years. So we say, too bad, because his lien, if she would have done what I saw, means that he has an ownership right in this until, if and when you pay him back, whatever you owe him, and if you didn't, we'll take this. But he goes, she would allow the right, so what does it mean? It means that there's no attachment of obligation to any object per se. None of the objects known are attached to this obligation. Therefore, you can't come to take any of my objects. All you can do in this case is physically beat me, perhaps, until I pay you back. But you can't take the object itself. By the way, by saying that we always have this principle, instead of compelling a person bodily, compel him monetarily. And of course, if you hold Shibuda Doraisa, so then that makes sense. You're going to always take the property before beating him. Why bother beating him if you go take the property? But if the property is not under lien, because Shibuda Lav Doraisa, so then how's that going to work? Okay, so he says, Upiza b'chora b'suffik you, the suffik mitzvah say. So that's the case, it seems that in a suffik chiyuv, in a suffik obligation, is a suffik mitzvah say upon you, the sefer chumak is suffik yisura. And there, because it's the same suffik, we have you shafi makra, and you have a suffik yisura. So along comes, let's say, I come to you, and I say, listen, Rabbi Yanko, one second, I have a question here. Ron asks, can you steal the money owed? Or is money obvious? So you can't steal the money that you are owed. There's a second story in Baba Kama of Avi Nidr Shil Nafshei, where there's no basin to which you can go. Whether you're allowed to go perpetrate vigilante justice on your own. But you can't say it's your money in that case. What you're saying is, I am a judge. I'm a judge. The jury and the bailiff, whatever, it's a kangaroo court. But that's not the same thing as saying it's my money. I'm enforcing justice against you. That's a different thing. Finding out, which is called Alin Zvar in Baba Matia is actually only applicable after Basin sees it has no way of determining who owns something. It says, no, guys, we can't determine it. It's in flux. We're going to try and maintain the peace somehow. Maybe even try and make a compromise, but as it stands now, we really can't pass it either way. But Lamaisa, what I wanted to say is important is that what he's asking is like basically this. Let's say, I come to you and I say, listen, Rabbi Yanko, I yesterday did work for you for 5 hours. And you say, Rabbi Yanko says to me, What? I never hired you to work. You never did any work. You're full of baloney. So I say, Rebianco, you don't know. Last night a tremendous rock fell on your head and you're suffering from amnesia. But believe me, I worked through for 5 hours yesterday. So if you, so Shimon is asking, is it the paying an obligation? That's upon you is a mitzvah. In this case, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So in this case, it's a subject d'oraisa for you. Maybe you did, suffer amnesia. So you should have to pay. Why? Because subject d'oraisa l'chumrah. So anybody who comes to assert a monetary obligation should have the right to collect on that basis. Again, not because he has the right, that's the wrong way of putting it, but because if I, the defendant, am concerned with my olam haba, so why do I not be machmir and give up whatever money he's asking me where he's concerned about he's owed? That's what Rav Shimon is asking. Alan writes, no, I'm not sure what that is referring to. Is that the statement of despair or dismay of the halacha, or does that have some other connotation? But, so he says, Rav Shimon goes on in this vein, that, to ask the question in various different ways. And even going around the mar, she buddha the rifle. I want to, Hashem allow anyone to grab so much money in such a situation. Well, it's called the suffering. Listen, if you want to put theology into it, of course, you can always say that Hashem would not allow something to happen. but we try and deal with this without the Hashkacha aspect, because we don't have the Hashkacha aspect, so then, you know, they can always take the, it can't be that way. You mean the halacha can't be, you're saying practically it's not going to work. Hashem would not allow the halacha to be that happy machmir. Oh, that's very nice, but your conviction that the halacha can't be that way, because we're understanding the way Hashem runs the world, is a beautiful thing. And that might even be a significant, a legitimate theological perspective to say, but not doesn't necessarily help us understand how the halacha works. Nor perhaps is it the correct way of understanding how halacha works. So I wouldn't be so sure that would be the simple answer. Although, maybe it will, because as we did title this year, it has to do with Emunah Hashem, but I don't know if we're going to get there tonight. So let's go a little further. I'm going to go, if you're still following inside, I'm going to go to the paragraph on the second column, which says, Hinei Rishona. Hinei Rishona Leinu Lochiach, the Inya of Zesh Yeshiva Raguf,
she's a good enough for a
chazal, yeah. First, they have to prove the inyan zeh shibud haguf, who gam kin chiyum mamon shebein olam chaveiro. That's first of all, Rav Shimon says, I want to prove to you that shibud haguf is not simply an abstract concept. It is not simply a mitzvah concept. It is an obligation in olam chaveiro. The low mitzvah greater, not just the mitzvah. The kama murayos muchrachos. There are several compelling muchrachios. Several compelling pieces of evidence for that. He says, Dinei basiba agaramas shibra aguf aladam. In the root cause of what brings about a monetary obligation on a person. So we have two possibilities. Tishnefani. Over the kod mashishim Torah. One way is the Torah did it. Yeah. Let's say you're not a Kohen and you have a son, so you have a Shibud Pinyan Ben. You have to give 5 Kohen to a Kohen. Which Kohen, shave it, whatever, that's not the issue, but there's all put an obligation on you. That's a Shibud, that's one type of Shibud, right? Vodah Sheni, the second way, which really is what concerns us, Masha Adam Shabit Asim Uchiyim Chadosh. That was a person puts himself under the lien with a new obligation. The Chiyim Chadosh Zay Yifchadesh, and this new Chiyim comes about by the ways in which we make all kinyonim. Now kinyonim in the largest, in the narrow sense means a sale, but in the largest sense it means a transaction of any sort. So transactions create shibudim. That's what the transaction does. Sometimes it transfers property directly, but very often it creates a shibud. If I make an agreement with you that you have to work for me, you are meshubad to work for me. Not an obligation to work for me. Okay? If I make an agreement with you that you're going to borrow money from me and you're going to pay it back, so then that's a kinyan. Also, there's a kinyan that makes a shibud on you, they have to pay me back the money. And so on and so forth, which is done. These things are done by human beings among themselves. Now, the rules start getting involved. Sehem, and it happens through darke kinyonim, the web pathways of kinyon, sheniknim ayin yodom et atlim akarkos, which move of objects or land is acquired. Shem kinyon sudor or star, which are kinyon sudor, meaning, you know, the handkerchief type of kinyon, which you do with the rug on her Shabbat, on her Pesach, with the chametz. So that's where he gives us the pen, that we give him the right to sell our chametz. Right? That can be worked in many cases. In a chasna, the rug gives you the pen in front of the Aiden, and the Aiden gives you the pen, and you'll become obliged to the amount of the tznoim or the ksuva. Right? Those are all ways in which you create an obligation. What's that? Well, we're writing a document. Obviously, that's another way of creating an obligation. Like it says in the Zohar, that you gimel. The shitri aknoa the shabdi nashe. That certain types of things are, certain types of documents create a shibud. And he brings several ways in which, places in which it's indicated that the normal form of transactions, which are monetary transactions, create shibunim as well. And therefore, he says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 lines to the bottom. It says, Im no mar the ikar shibud ha'gufu mitzvah greater. If we're going to say that the mitzvah, that shibud ha'gufu, the obligation is only a mitzvah, it's not a kinyan out there. How to make a kinyan, you have to do a mitzvah. That makes no sense. I'm making a kinyan, we are now, you're committing to do a mitzvah. Your commitment to a mitzvah is not to me, how is it possible? Can I make a kinyan on you which obliges you to do it through the Sheikh of Ruth? Can I make a kinyan on you which obliges you to put on tzitzit? No. There's no such thing. So how is it possible to acquire shibudim with normal darkei kinyanim if they are this theological concept as opposed to a monetary derivative? It says that they can still start. How can it come about? By the kinyan of the tzuda, the handkerchief of the document. Ushita Rashi the tzuda tzuda paragraph 37. According to Rashi, shita that he says the mitzvah mishum hein shachot tzedek. He says the source of the mitzvah pirs b'chol mitzvah is it says in the Torah hin tzedek. I have to have a honest measure. My statement of yes has to be honest, and my statement of not has to be honest as well. So Rashi says that the mitzvah pirs b'chol is based on my trustworthiness. That my hein is tzedek, and my lav is tzedek. My yes is just, and my no is also just. So therefore says Rashi, that's the yesod, that's the basic pirs b'chol mitzvah. The gym doesn't make me feel any better, because if that's the case, I am royally also the Amir Greyer. So speaking out should be good enough. I have a Dr. Shiyonim, my Shachar-Rakam. I mean, Dr. Shiyonim. So based on my personal trustworthiness, so I shouldn't have to make a Kenyan in any way, shape, or form. But when I promise, let's say P.S. Bachol Mitzvah. And we don't say P.S. Bachol Mitzvah on a promise. We only say when some sort of legitimate transaction took place. Now Ron asks, what if I give you a lost object? Wouldn't that be a kinyan and obligate in a mitzvah? What do you mean you gave me a lost object? When you picked up lost object, you made a kinyan on it. There is a kinyan which the Torah gives you, which requires or gives you certain rights and responsibilities, primary responsibilities, to give, make sure the object gets back to its original owner. But I'm not sure. It's not the fact that there's a mitzvah in and of itself, which you now require. But rather, since the object, even though you have rights and responsibilities here, but since the object still belongs to the original owner, according to the Torah's Kiddush, maybe it's a chok, maybe it's a mishpat, but the Torah said the original owner still has a connection to it, so therefore, you have to give it back, not because of the mishpat. And I don't want to give too much away, because this will become clear when the Zechu was answered later on. But this is actually something I want to come back to. So I think maybe for tonight we will stop here. Now we have the questions down pat, and make a different night for the answers. And also maybe we can get more people to come next time. So therefore, a vested interest in having more fun and being marvelous and more tolerant if we give enough lead time and publicize it enough. And everybody, Ron and Michael and Mike and Richard, if you can please let us all know about quality and what you think about the idea. It's important. And I'm going to stop recording right now.